right.
Well, let's get to the word this morning, and let's talk about what God has shared with me. I was not going to talk about this. I thought that at the end of last week that I was going to move on to a new subject, and I was going to talk about life groups. And then Monday morning, 3:30, right after Sunday night, we had an awesome Sunday. Right after, went to bed really filled with the Lord and filled with His presence. And 3:30, I woke up in the middle of the early morning, and I actually woke up because my heart was talking to the Lord. My spirit man was talking to God, and then it was then talking in tongues, and then talking, and the Lord was speaking back to me. I actually woke up from that, and I thought I was supposed to participate in this. I was like a third person listening to what was going on. When the Lord spoke back to me by His Spirit, He quoted Scripture to me. That's what He was doing. He's quoting Scripture to my heart. And the Scripture filled my being so that every part of my body, every cell in my body heard it. It was a remarkable experience, and it was an overwhelming experience. There was no doubt it was God talking to me. And we were discussing the new covenant. We were talking about the promises and the blessings of the new covenant. And I don't think it's a subject that we could probably exhaust. It is that large and that deep. I was just so pleased that the Lord would speak to me. I obviously could not sleep as He continued this dialogue for about an hour and a half until about 5 o'clock in the morning. And then eventually I said, Lord, I'm going to get up and get some coffee while we continue talking. And I went downstairs and got some coffee and continued this prayer conversation with Him. And I wasn't quite sure whether I was awake or not. It felt like I wasn't awake, but I was awake. It's hard to explain. I don't know how to explain the sensation that I had. I just know that as He was sharing this with me, I began to realize that there's so much to the new covenant that we still need to get into and still have to look at. During the week, I tried to prepare on attending life groups. Couldn't do it. Just couldn't do it. I couldn't get my mind off what had happened. And by Thursday, I said to Jackie, I just can't get out the sermon. I just can't get out the sermon for Sunday. And she said, maybe you should be talking about the new covenant. Duh. So I went back to my desk and I began to take with some of the things that the Lord had shared with me. And I began to put it down, try and work it out. And then I had shared some of these thoughts with Jackie, and she's been listening to my sermon from last week twice a day. She's been spending 2 hours a day, each day listening to it. And she said this on Saturday afternoon. She said, there was a prophecy given to you some time back by a man in South Africa who stands in the office of the prophet, teacher, pastor, prophet. His name is Quibus. And she said, maybe you should go back and read it again. So I said, well, I'll try and find it. Well, I found it last night at about 8 o'clock. And as I read what he had said to me, it dates back to the 26th of April, 2008. The morning God spoke to me was the 26th, but not of April, of August, exactly 1 year and 4 months later to the day. And when I read it, I had the same experience, straight, just instantly. God's presence was there. We were talking, and He began to talk to me about the last phase of my ministry. And I can't share that with you yet. I'm sure He will allow me to when the time comes. But I will read you the prophecy later on in today's sermon. okay? Because it involves you. And at the time when he gave me this particular word, I was not in ministry. I was not in pastoral ministry. I had retired to take care of Jackie. So let's start, and we'll see where this goes, okay? Let's talk about the blessings of the new covenant. We finished off last week on this theme, that the new covenant is, in fact, the great mystery. Hidden throughout the ages, in the old covenant it is hidden, and it is now revealed in the new covenant, and the mystery is, in fact, Christ in us. Say that with me. The mystery is Christ in me. That is the mystery that has been hidden throughout all ages, and that is, in fact, the new covenant. It is God in us. The scripture reference, I mean, there's many scripture references, but Colossians 1:26 is what we used last week. It said, the mystery which has been hidden from ages and from generations. So it's been hidden. God kept this a secret from generations and throughout the ages, but has now been revealed to his saints. Are you a saint of God? Yes, you are. You're a saint. Okay? For those who are of Catholic descent, understand this, that you become a saint by believing on the Lord Jesus Christ. It's a little different to what the Catholic Church teaches. Okay? So, saints in the New Testament, not somebody who's had some special experience or had a great miracle or gets voted by the Pope to be a saint, but rather the New Testament says that those who have been declared sanctified and have received Jesus as Lord and Savior have been sanctified, actually made saints. Okay? So for the Catholic friends that are here today and for those listening, I'm not blaspheming. You are a saint. Okay? Good news. All right. Now, this has been revealed to the saints. Verse 27 says, to them, talking about us, God willed to make known what are the riches of the glory of this mystery among the Gentiles. God decided in his infinite wisdom that now he is going to reveal to the Gentiles, us, non-Jewish people, what is this great mystery, the glory of this mystery, and then he spells it out very easy, very simply, which is Christ in you, the hope of glory. Say, Christ in me, the hope of glory. Okay? That is the great mystery of all ages, God in us. Now, when you enter in by faith into the new covenant, by believing on Christ, the very first promise after entering in, and the greatest promise of all in the new covenant is this, the indwelling, fullness, and presence of the Holy Spirit. So once you enter into the covenant, the very first and greatest promise is the indwelling, fullness, and presence of the Holy Spirit. Galatians 3 and verse 14, Paul says, that Christ has redeemed us, talking about the Jews, in order that the blessing given to Abraham, not the blessings given to Moses, the blessing given to Abraham might come to the Gentiles through Jesus Christ. Remember, we looked at it last week, that Abraham's seed, talking about one person, Jesus Christ, was the one to whom this promise was made. And if we are Christ's, then we are Abraham's seed and heir according to the promise. So he says here that the blessing given to Abraham might come to the Gentiles through Christ Jesus. Now here it is. So that by faith we might receive the promise of the Holy Spirit. So the end result was not simply our salvation. The end result was the fullness of God in us, that we would become God's address. The end result that God was looking for, that he would live in his people, walk in his people, and we would hang out together, and that we would be one together with him. Jesus' prayer in John 17 was that we would be one as he was one with the Father, and that together he would be in us and we would be in him. Remember that? It's like everybody's in everybody. If you read that scripture, like, okay, I'm so dizzy of everybody being inside of it. That's the whole point. We're supposed to be one in him, a unity that is closer than anything that ever exists. This is it. Now, so that is the greatest promise, the greatest work of the Holy Spirit in the new covenant is to transform us or transfigure us into the image of Jesus. Okay? You need to know that your life's journey is for you to become more and more like Jesus. That's your life journey. I don't care what you do. I don't care if you're a construction worker, a printer, a computer genius. It doesn't matter what you do. Your life's journey and the life goal that God has for you is the predestination of you to be conformed to the image of Jesus. So the greatest work that the promise of God in you is to transform you into the image of Jesus. And now you can see more and more why we call this church the promise. The greatest work. And 2 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 18 is the scripture that Ed is his favorite scripture out of the Amplified Bible. It goes like this. And all of us with unveiled face, talking about Moses who veiled his face. Remember when he was shining with the glory of God upon him when he came down with the two stone tablets with the Ten Commandments, and the glory was upon him, that anointing was upon him with such power that they couldn't look at his face. So he put a veil over him so he could communicate with the people. And we went through that at length last week. Now we, with unveiled face, continue to behold in the Word of God, as in a mirror, the glory of the Lord, are constantly being transfigured. It's a lifelong journey. Constantly being transfigured into His very own image. God is at work in you, molding you, bringing you to a place where you more and more each day look like Jesus inside. In ever-increasing splendor, from one degree of glory to another. Say this, from one degree of glory to another. Notice it didn't say from no glory to some glory. It starts out with glory. From one degree of glory to another. There's an increasing glory. Would you say this with me? I'm glorious in Christ. Who's getting a little scary? I know. Scary is not the feeling that I had when God was talking to me. Scary was like, God, if I say this, if I say these things, who will be there to back me up? The Word will be there to back me up, because I'm not going to say anything that's outside of the Word. Okay? So watch this. Let me read it again. And all of us with unveiled face continue to behold as in a mirror the glory of the Lord, are constantly being transfigured into His very own image. In ever-increasing splendor from one degree of glory to another. For this comes from the Lord who is the Spirit. So this increasing glory and transfiguration is coming from the Spirit, who is at work in us, according to the previous scripture we read, transforming us into the image of Jesus. So we are growing in glory. We all already are glorious, but we're increasing in glory. The Spirit of God is at work in us. He's doing this job. It's His greatest work. And how many think God can fail? God can't fail. So He said, even though you may think you're a work in progress, you must understand God has great faith in His own ability to transfigure you, to work you out. God is not afraid. And he's not afraid that he's tackled you as a project. You do not scare him. Isn't that the truth? Okay. So now let me read you this prophecy. People will start thinking you're insane. Some will even say you're just playing a game. But God says, this is a new day. I'm opening a brand new way. Your family and your friends will totally be amazed. And they will realize you must have in the face of God gazed. Because glory will shine so bright that they will know on the inside of you, you must have connected to a higher light. And you will see the glory come and it will fall on many, not just on some. You will speak in power. God says, this is your hour. For you stood back for many days. I had resigned to take care of Jackie and I wasn't in ministry. But God says, now I'm taking you on my ways. Like Moses knew me of old, better will it be for you. And the greater works of Christ you will be able to do. You've stood on my word and have upheld it for many years. But God says, now I'm raising you up to a greater size, and you will know that this is from me. And all around you, eyes will see, glory will fall. And people in the house will have a Christian ball. They will jump up and down and they will shout for joy. God says, this is your day. This is your hour. Don't wait. Don't delay. You will open your mouth and you will know what to say. The word will flow fluently from your mouth and people will say, can this be lips of clay? Understand that this is what God has to say. While I was lying on the floor, he turned to the congregation and he said this. I just see glory shining from him. It happened in history a couple of times that glory shone on people's faces. He'll be one of the first that will have it. You can write it down and come back to testify. Quite incredible. Quite incredible. And he is recognized as a prophet. He comes to America recent, you know, on a number of trips. But I read that last night and I thought, whoa, that is scary. Based on, 5.5 years ago, that I wasn't even in ministry, and that this understanding of what the Lord is showing me in the new covenant is rising and overpowering, becoming something that is filling my very being, and something that I want to share by revelation of what God has given me, and it has concerning the glorious church and the age in which we are living. How many believe we're at the end of the age? How many believe he's coming back for a glorious church? Are you sure you believe that? You're the church. See? See, we say that, he's coming back for a glorious church, and immediately, we condemn ourselves by saying, but I'm not ready, and there are others that are not ready, and when I look around me, where is this glorious church? Do we not do that? Okay, so you're in the right place this morning. Say, I am the glorious church. This is a quote from Ephesians 5:25. Just as Christ also loved the church and gave himself for her, that he might sanctify and cleanse her with the washing of water by the word. It's the washing of the water by the word that makes the difference. That he might present her, talking about the church, to himself, a glorious church. Say, glorious church. You know that there's only going to be one church presented to Jesus. Not a glorious church, a semi-glorious church, a crippled church, and a poverty-stricken church. Ones with spot and wrinkles. Only one church is going to be presented to Jesus. At what time and when in your walk are you going to become part of the glorious church? Do you understand? Do you understand what I'm saying to you? Do you get the picture? Okay. Because I promise you, if you are like all other Christians and even like myself, I have excluded myself from the glorious church. I see this as a prophecy of something to come. And I keep waiting for a manifestation of the glorious church. And I keep thinking, man, it's going to be glorious. Can't wait for the glorious church. But oh God, I'm so sad I'm not going to be part of it. So I'm going to die before it gets glorious. There's only one church. Listen to me. There's only one church. There's not a glorious, semi-glorious, tarnished, spot and wrinkled, unironed. One church, one body, filled with His glory. You're either in it or you're not. Decide today. I'm part of the glorious church. So say with me, I'm part of the glorious church. Say it like you mean it. One more time, like you really mean it. So never, ever, ever talk bad about yourself again. Nor allow the devil to talk bad about you. Don't allow him to do that. Because you're talking about the bride of Christ. You're talking about his body. You're talking about the church that he died for and he gave his blood for. Don't you be talking bad about his bride. I'd get mad if you talk bad about my bride. Hello. Husbands, would you allow people to talk badly about your bride? Would you? Would you? Then don't you talk bad about Jesus' bride. You are part of the bride. You're glorious, according to him. Now, let's compare the blessings under the old covenant, the Mosaic covenant, and those under the new covenant. Under the old covenant, people were required to do and to do perfectly and to keep doing in order to receive the blessing. That's the requirements, okay? Under the new covenant, everyone receives God's blessings from His grace. John 1:16 says this, from the fullness of His grace, we have all received one blessing after another. From the fullness of His grace. Grace is unmerited favor. It is unearned, unwarranted. You cannot earn it. Nothing you do can move God to bless you. Under the old covenant, one had to earn the blessings based on works that they did, keeping the law. But under the new covenant, I inherit the blessings based on someone else's perfect work. It's not a work that I've done. It's not performance orientated. My performance does not produce the blessing of God in my life. It was Jesus' performance that does it. And it's my faith in what He did that releases His promises and His blessings to me. Now, we are blessed with every single spiritual blessing in Christ. There's nothing outside of it. Understand this. You're the glorious church, and you're blessed with every single blessing. According to 1 Ephesians 1:3. First chapter of Ephesians, verse 3. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places in Christ. Now, I was not very good at English, believe it or not. I actually failed English in college. So God made me an author. There's hope for you then. One of the things I did know was my tenses. Past tense, future tense, and present tense. Yay! Got some things right, huh? Happy, happy, happy. So, check this out. God, blessed be God, the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who... What? Yes. What tense is that? Yes. Mm-hmm. So it's already happened. It's not something you're going to get. It's something God's already done. You see, being the glorious church is not something you're going to be. It's something you are. You are already the glorious church. You are already blessed with all His blessings. Has blessed us with every spiritual blessing, not just some, not just the ones you can wrap your mind around, including the ones you can't wrap your mind around, the ones that you're struggling to believe, the ones that you're saying, it can't be. That's the place where you're going to have to renew your mind and start thinking differently. And start thinking in line with the Word of God. He has blessed us, past tense. You see, part of our dilemma that we have is this. We read a scripture like this, and it throws us into confusion. Because what part of this inheritance should we be enjoying here on earth? And what part should we be considered to be positional truth? Or spiritual truth, and only available when we get to heaven. Okay? Just give you a thing. So we read the scripture, and it says we have been blessed with all spiritual blessing. And then the devil will tell you to look at your life and to look at your own circumstances. And he draws us away from the spiritual to the natural. And we look at the natural, and we do a comparison, and we say, yeah, the Bible says this, but this. But the Bible says this, yeah, but look at this. When you're looking at this, this natural is actually carnal. That's the carnal aspect. And if you consider the carnal for too long, it produces death. That's what it says. Okay? So we have to look at the spiritual. Now, the problem we have is this. We say, okay, I believe the promises are so, but not all of them are for now. Some of them, when I get to heaven, when I meet with Jesus, when I'm walking on streets of gold, then I will see the fullness of all of this. Now, how many of you have thought along those lines in the past? Please, work with me. It's not only me. So, it's true. That's what we think. And that confusion leads us to a place where we don't experience on earth right now what we're supposed to. And we put it off to a future date, thinking that the glorious church is still coming, that all this is going to happen in the future, and that when I get to heaven, I'll be perfect. And when I get to heaven, then I'm going to have all this stuff. That is not what Scripture teaches. We are seated right now in heavenly places, in Christ Jesus. In fact, if you're not seated right now in heavenly places in Christ Jesus, you ain't going to heaven. Hello. You see, 2 Peter chapter 1 and verse 3 says this. God's grace freely gave us all things pertaining to life and godliness. God's grace, unwarranted favor. You all know this acronym that they use for grace. God's riches at Christ's expense. You all know that. It's an awesome acronym. It is God's riches at Christ's expense. And here we see that God's grace freely gave us. Oops, what tense has gave us? Hello. Maybe that's why you're not getting it. Say past. Yeah, see, if you say past, you probably don't understand what you're saying. You gotta say past. Now you get it, past. See? It passed you by. Don't pass me by, gentle Savior. God's grace freely gave us some things. How many? Say all. See, again, it's past. No, past. Not our things. All things. It's all in the pronunciation. It's all in that. That's where the power comes from. So listen, God's grace freely gave us all things. He's already given us all things that pertain both to life and godliness through the knowledge of Jesus our Lord. If I can only get you to understand, it's already been credited to your account. It's already been done. It's a done deal. It's in your account. Jesus has died and been raised from the dead. It's a done deal. And stop putting this off for some future time, but rather say, wait a minute, he's already done it. Let's read it like it stands. God has given us every spiritual and every physical blessing that we could possibly need or ever will need in our entire lifetime, and he gave it to us as an inheritance. God has, by his grace, freely given us all things. Now, we read the scripture in John 1 and verse 17. It says, the law was given through Moses, and grace and truth came through Jesus Christ. So, grace came by Jesus. The law came by Moses. Grace came by Jesus. I like to say it this way. God's grace gave us Jesus as a gift. And Jesus gave us grace as a gift. In fact, everything we receive from God comes through Jesus, through grace. You can't receive anything from God unless it comes through Jesus, through grace. And I'll go one step further and I'll say it like this. Grace is not really something that came through Jesus. It is everything that came through Jesus. In other words, you receive nothing from God unless you receive it by grace. Is that a little different from the old covenant? Everything comes through Jesus by grace without you earning it, without you deserving it. Nothing. You receive nothing, can receive nothing. However, because of his grace, you receive it all. You lack for nothing. It's all yours. Now, we all know that Jesus has been appointed lawful owner of all things. This is found in Hebrews chapter 1 and verse 2 from the Amplified Bible. And we have no problem with this. But in the last days, these last days, Paul by the Holy Spirit says that God has spoken to us in the person of a son, whom God appointed heir and lawful owner of all things. Do we have a problem with that? Anybody have a problem with that? So say this with me. Jesus, the Son of God, is lawful owner and heir of all things. Okay? He is heir of all things. As he's been appointed lawful owner. And it says here, also by and through whom, talking about Jesus, he created the worlds and the reaches of space and the ages of time, he made, produced, built, operated, and arranged them in order. Amplified Bible says he created all things, put them in order, controls them, operates them, built them, everything. And all of this is his, correct? Are you sure? You got it. Nobody's gonna pry that out of your hand. It's all his. Okay. Now, if you have your Bible, then turn with me, please, to Romans 8, 16. If you have your Bible, go to Romans 8, 16. The Spirit the Holy Spirit, the greatest promise of the new covenant, the indwelling presence and Spirit of God, Himself, the Spirit Himself, testifies with our spirit, as it happened to me at 3:30 on Monday morning, that we are children of God. How many have that testimony in their heart that the Spirit is telling you, you are a child of God? Can I see your hand? Okay. It is a thing that the Spirit of God does for you, lets you know in your heart, you are a child of God. Now, if we are children, then we are heirs. Heirs of God and co-heirs with Christ. Joint heirs with Christ. Who is Christ? What is Christ heir to? All things. He has been appointed lawful owner and heir of all things. And I and you, as a son of God, are a joint heir together with Christ of all things. All things. All things that He created in the world, the reaches of space, the ages of time, He made, He produced, He built, He operated, He arranged them. I and you are an heir together with Him of all things. Now, if you really want to go back to Deuteronomy 28 and take a couple of those promises, blessings, be my guest. As for me and my house, I'm heir of everything. Through Christ, possessor of heaven and earth. I try to put this down into one sentence. I try to encapsulate this thought. So last night, while I was busy in the Spirit with the Lord, I tried to write down what He was saying to me. The last will and testament has been written and legally implemented because of the death of your elder brother. You have inherited God's blessings. It's called the New Covenant. The last will and testament, you know what a will is, gets written out by somebody who's alive for an heir to have. The last will and testament has been written and legally implemented. It was legally implemented because of the death of a relative. Jesus is referred to as our elder brother. He's our relative. And we have inherited all of God's blessings. All of them. It's written. When you go to the reading of a will where you are heir, the attorney will open up and read and say on such and such a paragraph, this has been bequeathed to you. You have a house on such and such a street, it's been bequeathed to you. Or you have a bank account with so much money and it's been bequeathed to you. And then you go and you take that money out and you enjoy it. You go and move into the house. It's been given to you. You did not earn it. You didn't deserve it. Somebody else died and gave it to you. The New Covenant is the will called the New Testament that Jesus died to give to you as an inheritance. And it's yours, not because you deserve it, but because He died through His blood and shed it for you so that you could have it. It's called the New Covenant. You can see this will keep you up. It'll keep you up. If you start to think about this, the more you think about it, the more you'll start to understand that everything that God has, He has given to you, and that He is not withholding anything from you. Because He's already given it to you in Christ. It's yours. And don't tell me, well, when I quit smoking, then I'll get it. Don't come and tell me, well, yeah, I can see that happening to me as soon as I get rid of my temper. Then I'll walk in it. If you get rid of your temper before you get it, then you earned it. Anything you get rid of, it becomes a reward, not a gift. Any sacrifice you make to get it turns it from a gift and grace to a reward. Something you did. Now, I can just smell the wood burning. I know. I've been down the same road as you going down right now in your mind. I know. But you're just going to have to stick with me for a while because we can't get through all of this in one 40-minute session. We just can't. It is a new way for us to think about what God has done for us. It is a new understanding. And I know that many of you have been raised and understand what grace is and righteousness is, but maybe the way I'm just presenting it to you is making you think a little more about what God has done and causing faith to rise in your heart so you can begin to become part of the glorious church that you thought you'd never be part of, that you thought you were not worthy to be part of, that you thought you didn't qualify, that you couldn't get God's blessings in your life because you don't qualify. Every time you walk in lack in this life and you see lack, and then you think, well, obviously something wrong. I'm obviously doing something wrong. I'm obviously not pleasing God somewhere. Right? You know, I like to play golf, and sometimes I play on Monday. And sometimes I'll hit a good ball, and the guys all know I'm a pastor. And one guy said, well, you must have tithed yesterday. Saying that I just earned this good shot from God because I did something like tithe. And I want to turn around and just tell him his fortune lies in Christ by grace. And it had nothing to do with the fact that I tithed or not. It was all about my skill. No, just kidding with you. Just kidding. Okay, just to get you. Okay, no. See, the world thinks we earn God's blessings. That's what they think. People, you're going to have to stay with me as we get a little deeper into this truth so that can start to help you, okay? You see, we are now the sons of God. We are now the children of God. We are now daughters of God, okay? We are now family of God. I don't know if you know this, but in the Old Testament, run a search. I did this. I looked in the Old Testament for child of God. Not one reference. Not one. So I ran the reference sons of God. And there was five references or six references. All of them referred to angels. There was not a human being in the Old Covenant referred to as the son of God. So then I ran people of God. Come to find out, only two occasions were Israel referred to as people of God. Only two in the entire Old Testament. Now, in the New Covenant, those who believe on Jesus are called children of God. In John 1 and 12, Jesus said this, yet all of you who receive him, it's quoting, John is writing, he says, yet to all who received him, talking about Jesus, to those who believed on his name, he gave the right to become children of God. Please notice this. Not every person born on earth is a child of God. And so when you hear this on television and you hear people say, but we're all children of God, we're not. We're not. To those who believe on his name, to those who believe on Jesus Christ, to them he gave the right or the authority to be called children of God. Not to everybody. Okay? So that'll change the way that you think too. And now it says in verse 13, children born not of natural descent, nor of human decision, or of a husband's will, but born of God. Now wait a minute. Wait a minute. Wait a minute. you must pray for me, okay? You must pray for me because I'm hearing stuff that I have never heard. And I'm hearing stuff and I'm like, oh God, can I really say that? Okay, so if I'm wrong, just go and check in the Bible and let me know, okay? Because it's scary. I'm hearing stuff that's so scary. See, in my mind, Jesus was the only one born of God. Because the Holy Spirit came upon Mary. But this scripture in John 1:12 says, born not of natural descent, not of human decision, but born of God. And it's talking about us. So the Holy Spirit, as it came on Mary, comes on you when you believe and causes you to receive the DNA of God in your spirit, causes you to be born again, a new creature in God's image. Created the new birth and the new covenant. The Holy Spirit causes the birth, just like the Holy Spirit gave birth to Jesus. Are you getting that? Born of God. Born of God. If you are born again, you have been born of God. Now, if you are born of God, you are now going to be led by God and by His Spirit. Romans 8:14 says, those who are led by the Spirit of God are sons of God. Those who are led by the Spirit are sons of God. If you're a son of God, say this, I'm a son of God. Of course, you're a woman, you're a son of God, okay? You're a son of God. I'm a son of God. Well, you're a son of God. You are led by the Spirit of God. You are led by the Spirit of God. Whether you feel led or not, whether you know you're being led or not, the Bible says you are led by the Spirit of God. You are. You are being led. You have to just become sensitive to that fact. The Spirit Himself bears witness with us that we are children of God. And Romans 8:19, still in the same chapter, Romans 8. The creation waits in eager expectation for the sons of God to be revealed. Have you read that scripture? You thought about that? That creation is waiting with eager expectation for the sons of God to be revealed. Okay. Who are they? Are you sure? When are you going to be revealed? Are you hearing me? Are you hearing yourself? You see, here's the problem. We have been putting this off to another generation. And we have been saying there's a generation coming that will be known as the sons of God because they're going to walk in a greater anointing. They're going to walk in a greater glory. They're going to do the works of Jesus. This generation that's coming, oh my God, when they get here, it's going to be amazing. And we're all waiting for this manifestation of the sons of God to happen. And it's like the glorious church, and it's out there, and one day it's going to happen. Well, I'm here to tell you today. It's us. It's us. It's not another generation. It's us. This is it. This is it. How do we become this? How does this happen to us? What is this? This is us walking in the revelation of the new covenant with our minds renewed to who we are in Christ and what Christ is doing in us. And when the lights go on and we see us of who we are and what God has done, just to tell you something, no barrier in hell will stop you. Nothing in this life will stop you and hold you back because you will begin to walk in that glory and that image. And you're going to walk in that anointing, and it's going to come off and on you, and it'll touch people about you. There's nothing that's going to stop. When you begin to believe, when you begin to believe that I am the glorious church, that I am born of God, that God lives in me, that I am His address, that I am filled with God's fullness. And then he said, Henry, speak to the mountain and believe in your heart and it will move. And he says that to all of us. That is where the power is going to come from. It's going to come from His grace. It's not going to come from us earning it. It's not going to come from us having fasted for 40 days and suddenly we get up and our hairs turn white and we've had an experience and we walk out and we say, okay, I've got it. It's not going to come that way. It's not going to come with you earning it. It's going to come by you believing it. You're going to receive it. You're going to believe it. Your mind's going to be changed and you're going to begin to walk in it and hell will not be able to stop you. No demon will be able to stop you. No boss, no political power will be able to stop you. Nobody will be able to stop you because you will be walking in this world as He is now. Well, I'm out of time. I'm out of time. Do you know what? Next week, I think we should have a look at what determines the measure of the promises and provision of the new covenant that we see. I want to specifically look at the blessings of the new covenant as it relates to healing, finances, and authority over demonic forces. Healing, finances, and authority over demonic forces. And we're going to start that next week because you can tell from having done a comparison of old and new that there's a heck of a difference, isn't there? There's a heck of a difference. Now, if you go back and you read the Old Covenant and you read a lot of stuff in the Old Testament, you see a lot of blessing. You see financial blessing everywhere. In fact, my book is full of it. I have to rewrite my book now. Totally going to rewrite my book. Thank God I'm growing in the knowledge of the Lord and His grace. Amen? Amen. Yeah, going to revise and grow. So what we want to look at is now how does prosperity come in the new covenant versus the old, and how does healing, how does that work out, and how does authority over the demonic forces, how does that work out in the new covenant versus the old? And we want to clear up some of the confusion that the church is walking in. Okay? All right. Let's have every eye closed, and I want to invite you, if you have not received Jesus yet, if you're still on the outside looking in, I'm sure you can't resist becoming part of the new covenant, becoming a son and daughter of God. I'm sure you'd love to have your sins forgiven and be born of God and have God dwell in you and know that He loves you, that you become part of the glorious church. There would be nothing more exciting for you to become part of that. So today, if you are not yet part of the body of Christ, if you're yet not a child of God and you desire to be, just quickly raise your hand right now. I pray a simple prayer over you, and God by His grace will include you, visit you, and come and live in you. I'm going to count to three. If you'd like to be included, join the body of Christ, just quickly raise your hand. One, two, three. Before we open our eyes, if you are not yet spirit-filled, do not have a prayer language, you love God, you know He loves you, but you would like to have a prayer language, you'd like to be able to talk to Him in the Spirit, pray in the Spirit, have the fullness of the Spirit in you, quickly raise your hand. I'd like to minister to you so that you can receive. Thank you for those hands that are gone. Thank you so much. Thank you. It's a few people that have done that. All right. Where those that have raised a hand quickly, I'd like you to do something. Just stand to your feet, slip out of the chair where you are, come down to me so I can minister to you. We're going to release the rest of the church so that they can go and enjoy some fellowship while I minister to you. Is there anybody here who would like us to minister to you concerning healing your physical body? I'd like to pray for you too. So if you would like healing your physical body, slip out of your seat, come on down, stand with me as well, okay? And if I could have some of the pastors join me, I'd appreciate it. Thank you so much. Just stand here, face the front. Those who are coming for the prayer language, would you stand on my right-hand side over here? Thank you so much, the prayer language. Just stand up, that's fine, just stand up real close. where others are going to join us. And then those that are coming for ministry of healing, they can stand on my left-hand side. All right? Okay. Fine. Thank you so much. All right. Well, I would like to encourage you to get a boombox to go and invite your neighbors. Okay? Have an awesome week. Come expecting next week. Come expecting. And if you can, download today's sermon and last week's. Do it. Listen to it again. I said a lot that has to be absorbed and you have to chew on it. Okay? Do that. Build your faith and we can go one step further next Sunday. All right? God bless you. Have an awesome week. Please stay for some fellowship. Thank you.